We'll continue our study this afternoon in the book of Ruth, and we'll look at chapter 2. Charlie, this one's for you. This morning we saw and learned, I trust, of Ruth's resolve. Where you go, Naomi, I go. Where you live, your people, my people. Where you die, I die, and so on. And in our continuing study, it seems to me two things have become clear. One, the sovereignty of God. And secondly, the love of God. Elimelech, in a time of famine, had left the place of blessing, the house of bread, Bethlehem. And he'd gone into forbidden and idolatrous Moab. 10 years passed. Elimelech, the father, and his two sons have died. And leaving three graves in Moab, Ruth returns to Judah. She did so leaving behind her daughter-in-law, Orpah. And then, taking Ruth, she goes into the land. And there she and Ruth will experience the blessing of God. By her own admission, Naomi returned bitter and broken to Bethlehem. And yet it was here she was to experience God's goodness, wasn't it? Early in chapter 2, a new and a very important relationship develops within the story. She is introduced to a man by the name of Boaz. This young widow and the prosperous landowner from Bethlehem find love. And the story continues in that vein. And it's such a beautiful picture for you and for me to enjoy relative to the love of our Lord Jesus Christ for each one. This morning, we looked at Ruth's resolve. Now, let's consider Ruth's relocation. She's back in the land where she belongs. And in verses 1 to 3, we'll see a relationship. While in 4 to 7, it's recognition. 8 to 11, it's refreshment. And in 12 to 17, it's recompense. And finally, 18 to 23, it's rejoicing. And so, events will change and alter through our study this afternoon, and let's pray they will be a blessing to us as we begin our reading in verse 1 of chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came, and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let not thine eyes be on the field, that they do reap, and go thou after them. After I charge the young men, that they shall not touch thee. And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been shown me that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaiden. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers. And they reached, and he, that is Boaz, reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean, even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave her that which she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our own kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men, and they have ended all until they have ended all of my harvest. Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that thou meet not in another field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and to dwell with her mother-in-law. Let's ask the Lord to bless, shall we? Father, what a privilege has already been ours this afternoon. Blessed of heart, enlightened of the Spirit and of thy word, we thank thee. We just look to thee for a continuation of thy presence and power. Please take us as afresh we look at these precious thoughts within this wonderful book, the Book of Ruth. We pray in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Relationship, recognition, refreshment, recompense, and rejoicing are all here in these 23 verses. But before we look at them, let's just take a moment or two to consider two words that are used within the text, and we'll become more familiar with them throughout the course of the talk and subsequent lessons. First, the word gleaning. It's not a common word in our vocabulary today, is it? Unless you read Joyce Gleaning's calendar, of course. But as far as the Word of God is concerned, gleaning meant for an individual in Ruth's day that she would go into the field, and allowed by law, she could follow the reapers and pick up that which had been dropped and make it her own. And then she would take it and break the grain or the husks, extract from it the grain, and ultimately use it as a diet. The poor were invited into these areas and permitted to. In fact, God in his goodness instructed the landowners of the day through his servant that they were not to go right into the corners of the field, but just round them off so that those who were gleaning and had this as their only means of sustenance could go into the corners and take what had been left. A precious thought that God provided for those who had precious little. But then notice as well, in addition to the word gleaning, that of the kinsman. The kinsman, we're introduced to it in the text as Ruth tells her mother-in-law, Naomi, why I found favor in the eyes of one named Boaz, and he encouraged me to go into his field and glean there. In fact, he even encouraged some of his workmen to drop some of the choice branches and some of the choice portions of grain that I might pick them up. She rejoiced in this, and she learned that from her mother-in-law that Boaz was actually a kinsman. It meant that he was a near relative. Actually, he was the nearest living male relative of one that had passed away, in this case, Elimelech. And as a kinsman, there rested upon him certain duties. The kinsman had the right to buy the land that had been left by the deceased. The unfortunate individual that had lost his property. But now the kinsman could pay for it and make it his own. But there was a further stipulation that was attached, and that was this, that he had the right to marry the widow of the deceased and to raise up the name of the dead. In other words, to bear children through her. And so we'll see the duties that befell the kinsman as we come through our study this afternoon and subsequently. Naomi had a kinsman of her former husband, her deceased Elimelech. His name, Boaz. But at this point, of course, why, Ruth doesn't know that, nor does Naomi know that the two have met until the day comes to a close and Ruth returns home. Boaz, this mighty man of wealth. Again, if you haven't noticed, I enjoy Bible names. And the name of Boaz simply means strength. He was a man of strength. What a picture of our all-powerful Lord. A man of strength indeed. Further, a God of unparalleled strength. A man of wealth was this man named Boaz. And also a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man of grace. What a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. Integrity and purpose were part of his character. What a unique and wonderful man was this. I suppose in many ways like the man of named Job that we've been considering earlier this afternoon. And so in this hour of her need, why, Ruth meets Boaz. And as she does, why, I see in Ruth myself. Maybe you see yourself. Why, how like you and me. Ruth was poor. She was dependent upon the grace and the love and the provision of another. So were you and I. Lost in our sins, absolutely no hope for eternity, save in the atoning death of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for that occasion on which we were introduced to Him. Interesting and precious experience yesterday. I was waiting for my wife in the hair salon. That's a great place for a man to sit out his time, isn't it? Anyway, I was there. And there was a dear little girl, a black girl, sitting next to me, 5 years old. We got into the greatest and most profound discussion. But that dear little kid, her mother eventually came back and joined her. And all of a sudden, this little girl broke into song and she began to sing the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. And she sang it right through. And then she said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and everybody in the salon could hear her, or at least in the proximity where we were looking. And she quoted that beautiful text of John 3:16. And she closed by giving the reference. She'd been taught it and taught it well. I said, honey, 59 years ago, I believed that verse. And I accepted Christ as my Savior. I was just a poor sinner. I didn't speak this way to her. But I was indeed a guilty sinner. But I realized the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ had died for me on that 27th of February, 44, by dear little Robert McClurk and the little Irishman pointed me to the Savior. What a joy. And beloved, I had absolutely nothing. I was poor. I was a sinner. I was a stranger in an alien land. And I desperately needed him. Yes, stranger, no worse, an enemy. But I learned the truth from the holy text that if while we were enemies, Christ died for us. Died for me. When I desperately needed him, and that truth became a part of me in conversion. God had a plan to bring an alien Gentile into a precious love relationship with this man of strength. And beloved, thanks be to God, he had the same intent in mind when he sent his son from yonder glory to Calvary's awful cross to die, to shed his blood, to make you his very own. And what a relationship brought into a saving relationship with our wonderful, wealthy Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this was Ruth. Eventually, as we mentioned this morning, she would be part of the family tree of our beloved Savior. It's an interesting day. Ruth announces to her mother-in-law, just like any other day was beginning. Why? She thought she'd go off and do some gleaning. She had little idea of what would happen. And it did. I remember hearing Dr. E.V. Hill speak a number of years ago here in Chicago. And he was talking about the way God works. Just when we least expect it, God pours out us a blessing. It was at the pastor's conference at Moody. And on the lectern that day, there must have been a stack of a dozen books, hardcover, beautiful books, that Dr. Sweeting had been encouraging the delegates to buy. And as Hill is going through his talk, and he's talking about the unexpected goodness of God, he starts at the top of the book and he says, all of a sudden, God says someday, when you least expect it, here, and he throws you out a blessing. Out goes one book. And by the time he finished, there wasn't a book left on the lectern. But that's the way God works. When you least expect it, he blesses you. And we praise our God for that. Little did Ruth expect the blessing. God had a plan to draw Ruth and the kinsman redeemer named Boaz together in a love relationship. And beloved, God has a plan worked out at Calvary, bless his holy name, to bring you and me and our great blessed kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, together in a loving, saving relationship. Oh, thank him tonight when you get down on your knees. And thank him, as we suggested last evening, just for the glorious position and relationship that you have in him. But then there's recognition. Verses 4 to 7. Elements of this story up to this point, why, they've included poverty, bereavement, now love. But then, the owner of this large field, Boaz, comes to see how the work of the day is going. And as he appears, his character is revealed as he speaks to his servant. I've had the joy and the privilege of being in the workplace for a number of years. And I've had the responsibility of working on the other side of the table to the union. Never once have I heard a unionist address his management or the management the union as Boaz addressed these men and those who worked for him. Listen to them as they speak in verse 4. "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.'" What? What a way for a manager to greet his employees. "The Lord be with you." And how do they respond? They answered him and say, "The Lord bless thee." What a relationship existed between Boaz and his workers. And so this was the man that Ruth was going to come to know and to love in such an intimate and wonderful way. It has been suggested that on the field that day, there may have been 80 women working in the harvest, gathering it in. And what happens? Boaz comes, and over that field of 80 women, he saw just one. And turning to his foreman, he said, "Who is that young damsel?" He recognizes her. How so? Was it because of her physical beauty? I don't know. Was it because of a particular style of Moabitish dress? I don't have the answer. But there was something, I believe, led of God that attracted the eye of Boaz on the rose of Moab, and he fastened on it, on her rather. And it was the beginning of this precious and beautiful experience. In the mass of 6 billion plus, thanks be to God, the all-searching eye of God looks down from the glory and he asks, in effect, "Who is that one, that unsaved one, who still needs a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ?" Then the Spirit of God begins to work to draw that one to the Savior and make them a child of God. Beloved, that's our God. He singles us out. And we're thankful that although Boaz said later on to her mother-in-law, "I just happened on the field of Boaz." No, Ruth, you just didn't happen. In the sovereign plan and purpose of God, you were directed there. That night in old Seymour Street Gospel Hall, I just didn't happen to be there. I was there, I believe, with all my heart, by divine appointment. And that night, I found the Savior. Where did you find him? Or is it possible there's someone here today and you have yet to find him? You still have never accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Still, you need to know him if you're going to spend a glorious eternity with the redeemed and with their beloved Lord. You need a Savior. How about it? Are you saved this afternoon? Is Christ your Savior? Remember the words of the beloved Apostle Paul, Galatians 2:20. Said, "The Son of God who loved me gave himself for me." This was no happenstance in the plan of God. This was the divine sovereign purposes of the Holy to reach out to save you and to save me and to make us his own. Every time I read John 15, verse 9, my mind is boggled. Listen to the words of the Savior when he said, "As the Father hath loved me," I can understand that. "As the Father hath loved me," this I can't understand, "so have I loved you." When you figure it out, please give me the answer. I can understand a holy God and Father in heaven, loving His infinitely holy Son, His co-eternal darling. But how that Son, with the same degree of intense love, could love His enemies like you and me, it will take an eternity to explore. But He does. It was no haphazard happening in the plan of God, but rather in the sovereign purposes of the holy, God reached out to bless and bless abundantly. Who is this damsel? She's the one that returned with Naomi from Moab. Oh, that's her. And he begins to think, I've heard a lot about her. He says that in the text. I've heard how good you've been to your mother-in-law. You know, it seems to me that God was working in the heart of Boaz long before Ruth had even met him. But that's the way it was with my God. He loved us first, didn't He? And we thank and we praise Him for such wondrous love. But then, notice the fact that there was refreshment provided by Boaz in verses 8 to 11. The foreman has explained to Boaz the details relative to Ruth's arrival upon the field and how that she's poor, she's a widow, she's a stranger. And in effect, he took her in, didn't he? He made a way whereby she could provide for herself. Isn't it interesting? We hear so much today about the homeless and the hungry. God in His sovereignty provided for them back in that day. They had their part to do, but He had His. And those who knew God and obeyed God's word had their part to do. And He brought all elements together, and they were provided for as they were in the life of dear Ruth. And so, she had no legitimate claim upon the grace of Boaz, nor do you and I upon our beloved Lord. But just when we needed Him most, He made His love and His grace known. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, He was so very rich, wasn't He? Yet for your sakes, He became poor, that ye through His poverty might become rich. Notice verse 8. Go not to glean in another field. What is He about to do? He's going to provide for Ruth. And He says to her, don't go and glean in another field. I would like to think, as far as Boaz was concerned, that he wanted her to stay right under his watchful eye. Don't go to another field. Dear child of God, I think I hear this afternoon from the courts of glory, don't go to glean and find your satisfaction in another field. Stay in mine. I bless you here. I'll provide for you here with provisions the like of which the world knows absolutely nothing. Stay in my field. He was going to provide for her. Don't go to glean in another field. I asked you, where are you gleaning today? Another field? Dabbling in the things of the world? Oh, I pray not. Stay in His field and know the blessings thereof. Wherefore, come ye out from among them we mentioned last evening, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Oh, stay close to my maidens, says Boaz in verse 8 again. Know the safety of numbers and the enjoyment of their fellowship. Beloved, this is where we enjoy one another and get the rich benefit of it. I have had the joy of performing the marriage ceremony for a dear young couple in our assembly a number of years ago. She had come from a a non-believing home. Her sister ridiculed her, had no time for this religion that she thought her sister had found. And I found myself at the reception sitting opposite this agnostic sister. After we'd gotten to know one another, she said to me, "Mr. McEntee, where do you people ever get your jollies?" Well, I said, "I'll tell you where we get our jollies. We get them first from a precious relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we're part of his family. And being in that family, we enjoy those who are also in the family. And we enjoy them." And I said, "As far as our jollies, I get them from being associated with your sister Pam and your new son-in-law Don. And boy, have they gone on for God. It's been a delight. And the other members of this fellowship, we enjoy each other. And it's precious." I said, "What do you have and who do you have to enjoy?" I knew she'd been in the fast lane, but she had nothing to say. The interesting thing is that this young woman was a highly qualified teacher who suffered a nervous breakdown and now is working as a clerk in a store. What's my point? It's just this. She didn't have anyone to fellowship with and to enjoy. And Boaz says to dear Ruth, "You stay in my field. Stay close to my maidens." Young people, stay close to the family of God. Become a meaningful, precious part of it. And you'll enjoy them. And you'll find that there's absolutely none to take their place. Enjoy them. And enjoy them to the full. The great kinsman redeemer longs to satisfy you, just as Boaz longed to satisfy Ruth. What did he say? Why, he said, "You come and you eat with me." He had a guest for lunch that day. And she sat near him. She sat close enough to him that he could take the freshly parched corn and hand her some. And she enjoyed it. You see, Ruth learned early to enjoy the same things that her Redeemer enjoyed. Beloved, oh, go in for enjoying the things of God as you learn them from this book, and God will bless you. I told one of my brethren here at noon hour, I think it was Jabe, several years ago, I met for the first time a fine young man by the name of Keith Brown. When I met him, his name meant absolutely nothing. I said, "Keith, what do you do?" This was down in Florida that we had met him. He said, "Oh, Arnold," he says, "I'm kind of between jobs." "Oh," I said, "what did you do?" He said, "I played defense for the Blackhawks for 14 years. And then I played 2 years for the Panthers until my knees gave up." But he said, "Late in that experience, I met Christ, and he's changed my life." I said, "Tell me, do you attend the chapel here?" He says, "Well, I come along frequently." He said, "I'm in a large church here," and he named it. But he said, "What I find here in this assembly is what I want." Left him. Oh, on last Sunday. He's now an elder in that assembly. You know why? One day he picked us up at the airport and drove us from West Palm to Boca. And from the time we got into his vehicle, he expounded the Word of God. He blew me away. I said, "Hey, tell me, Keith, where did you get it all? How much time do you spend in the Word of God?" And he quietly and softly and almost ashamedly said, "Arnold, about 8 hours a day." That's why. What was he doing? He was enjoying the parched corn. And God was blessing him. And he's made a man of God of him. And he's being mightily used in that little assembly. Keith Brown, hockey player, forget it. Man of God. That's where he's making his mark. A great and a wonderful man. When he stood several weeks ago, I understand, at a prayer breakfast or a prayer meeting and banquet of hockey players in Boca in the Fort Lauderdale area, Keith gave his testimony. When he was finished, everybody stood up, gave him a standing ovation. What a change. A man enjoying God. And you know what? It shows. It shows. He'd been enjoying and is the parched corn of the land. Beloved, if you and I would only go in a deeper sense for enjoying Him as we should, oh, how wonderfully blessed we will be. This is the way for true happiness. This is where it's at. This is where it's found. So Boaz assumed a personal, protective relationship for Ruth, as our God wants to for you and for me. Listen to the words of the Savior. The beautiful text of John 10 and verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. How wonderful. As mentioned, when leaving home that day, Ruth desired the grace of an unknown. And praise God, she found it in the person of Boaz. And she exclaimed as she fell at his feet, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? She could have been forever an alien, but in the goodness of God, she was brought into vital living contact with a kinsman redeemer by the name of Boaz. She had been outside the commonwealth of Israel, but now she was going to be richly and abundantly blessed, just as you and I have been, with a wonderful grace of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. Have you responded to that grace? Is He your Savior? Oh, how I pray, beloved, that He is. That you know the Lord Jesus as Savior and Lord. You can be at this Bible conference and be as far from God as you've ever been. But today, on invitation from the Holy, you can accept the Lord Jesus as Savior and enjoy His wondrous love. It's in verses 12 to 17 that we have recompense. Boaz appreciated Ruth's care for her mother-in-law. You see, God knew all about Ruth, and Boaz was to learn all about her. And Boaz appreciated the fact that she had left her land, she had left her culture, she'd left her family. All of it was left behind. Why? That she might come with Naomi and come under the limits of the blessings of the God of Israel. And Boaz appreciated the idolatrous land was behind. Is it behind as far as you and I are concerned? Really and truly now. Have we left it all? All to Jesus I surrender. We lustily sing. But how sad if it isn't true. Is all His? I remember one day walking around the campgrounds at Turkey Hill Ranch Bible Camp. I'm intrigued by the young people and some of the slogans and signs they have on the backs of their t-shirts. One ahead of me, and I walked more quickly to read it. This is what it said. Dying for me was the most He could do. Living for Him is the least I can do. That was going to happen in Ruth's experience. She was going to have the joy of living for God. She'd come out of Moab. She'd put her trust in the Lord of Israel. And now, according to verse 12, was under His protective wing. How wonderful. How excellent is Thy loving kindness, O God, according to Psalm 36 and 7. Therefore, the children... of men will praise Thee and put their trust under the shadow of His wing. Beloved, God wants to bless you, and He will do so as you will come to enjoy that blessing. Boaz invited, as I mentioned, Ruth to eat of that which he had enjoyed. and would enjoy. And it was a personal provision. He made it available. Oh, the preciousness of being in the Word of God, making it a daily habit, this precious text, and appreciating the fact that what I'm reading and what I'm enjoying, the God of the universe through the working of the Spirit of God in my being is giving it to me, and I can enjoy it to the full. She left the table then to glean again. And when she did, she found that having enjoyed the presence of this one who was to become a redeemer, why, out on the field that day, it seemed that the reapers had been more careless than usual. They had left handfuls on purpose for Ruth to pick up. Oh, beloved, the thrill of knowing it. Boaz, this beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, this man with wealth, this man of compassion, this man who knew all about Ruth before even meeting her. Why? This was the one that would be blessed, that would be a blessing to her. Ruth would be served, and so graciously, by this wealthy man, and he would grant her protection and security. He said to her, didn't he, you stay close to the young men. I've instructed them they're not to touch you. Keep their hands off, but they're to look after you. Thanks be to God. When there are men, yes, and women too, who are happy and pleased to provide protective custody for the young in Christ. Do you know some? Young people seek their protection and their love. Dear older one, seek to provide it, and God will bless you. With joy, Ruth and Naomi had returned, although bitter and brokenhearted as far as Naomi was concerned. She was to be blessed, and she would enjoy and appreciate the blessings to follow. When she returned home that day and announced by her display of grain what she had, why, Naomi was quick off the blocks to bless our God and to bless the man who acted on his behalf. What news was this? Why, here's one coming home with a satisfied heart. She's found where true satisfaction is found. The believer who is gleaned in the field of our heavenly Boaz bears precious seed. It is indeed. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless return again, bringing his sheaves with him. Naomi blesses the kinsman redeemer in verse 20. And Naomi, why, she exclaimed, the man is near of kin to us, one of our very own kin. Beloved, our great kinsman is near of kin to us. He came as God to become man, never losing his deity, but to die in our room instead. Years ago, Robert Stevenson, the famous Scottish engineer and grandfather of the well-known writer Robert Louis Stevenson, was born in 1772. 100 years after his birth, a great demonstration was given in his honor in Newcastle. There was a huge procession. The banners were unfurled, and crowds walked in honor of the distinguished engineer and his feat. In the procession, there was a group of peasants who carried a small banner on which were written the words, "He was one of us." They were citizens of the tiny village of his birth, and they had come to make their presence known. Beloved, men despise, hate, and reject him today. But thanks be to God, he became a man. He became one of us to make us his children. Boaz was the mighty man of wealth who was to manifest his wealth, his presence, his power to this unnamed from Moab. Beloved, if Boaz has done that, what has our heavenly kinsman done for you and for me? Let's appreciate it as we bow to pray. Loving Father, thank you so very much this afternoon in our Savior's worthy name for thy beloved Son. We pray that we might enjoy the provisions of our great God and the rich benefits and blessings he provides. Father, please continue to feed us during this conference season with a parched corn, the enjoyment of thy Son and of thy word. This we pray in our Savior's precious name.